according to your religion, according to karma. You have not reaped any bad karma. So your life must be happy, rich, prosperous, contented. Suddenly you find that one event after another comes and tortures you emotionally, mentally, and you cry and say, oh, I never deserved this, I've always been like this, why should this visit me? This prayer is making that point clear. It is not enough to be good, it is not enough to be religious. You have to awake to the purpose of God. If you do not, then your good life, your religious life has no meaning. You will be shaken to wake up and say, what does God mean? You might suddenly give up everything, yoga and ashram. That is how you start on the path. You see, you are shaken. Hundreds of people have cried and I have heard them say, but why? What have I done? I have not found anyone. They fail to realize that mere goodness, mere religious life does not help. Of course, a bad life will never help. But a good and religious life does not help. The only purpose is the purpose of birth and death, and to that you must awaken. If you don't, you will be awakened. And that shock treatment is in store for you if you do not naturally awake. Morning, you don't get up, and your wife is angry and pours cold water on you, and I'm awake. That is how nature will awake you. You get my point? So when it is time, it's high time to wake up, you wake up before cold water is poured on you, icy cold. You see? So remember, mere good and religious life does not matter. It's of no use whatsoever. If you live a million good religious life, you are nowhere. And you will receive that shock treatment which nature will give you. Because nature wants you to awake. Awake to what? Awake to your heritage.
But with that shock treatment, do we awake?
We do. We do. As I said, for the first time we say, oh, what is this? Let everything go and belong to an ashram, or to a holy man, sit there, read Gita, do something. They may not understand, but they will start like this. That shock will be there in the next life. You see? And the memory of that shock will make them again run to some religious man, to something, to Gita. It takes many, many lives to awake properly. Just as in the morning when we awake. And somebody tells you something you hardly hear. You see, you are not awake in the morning for some time. To be awake in life will take a few lives. But you will awake. And till you are sufficiently awake, this shock treatment will continue.
I was thinking that before shock there would have been many more awakened people around.
Yes.
Apparently
we don't.
We absorb all those shocks.
And still live and live what we live. But it takes a few lives. One like this one. Because as I've just told you, first is involution. From swaha to bhuva to bhu we come down. And then from bhuva, swaha we go up. It takes eternity to come down. In that eternity, the load of ignorance is such that totally every thought is wiped from our memory. The pirate light may say so. Pirate light we may repeat our religious prayers. You see? Pirate light we may say we are not to do this, we have to do this. All that we might say. But we do not are not able to do anything because our structure, our sanskar, the nature do as per the sanskar. Even the shock treatment, I will awake, but my sanskar will still make me do the same thing. You follow me? It takes a few lives before the curtain from the eye is removed. And not one of us, every one of us has gone through the shock treatment in many, many lives. And if we're not gone enough, we'll go for some more lives through this shock treatment till we will be awake fully. But see, the purpose is that nature should awake us. If we awake ourselves, this shock treatment will not be given to you. So if you want to avoid shock treatment given by nature, awake. And take the necessary steps.
These shock treatments are only psychological or even physical calamities.
Absolute physical calamities. The sun is taken away. All the fortune entirely goes. We beg on the street.
But that means awakened man will not have any physical calamity.
Awakened man should not have any physical calamity.
For example, Jesus was crucified.
Jesus was not crucified, Jesus got himself crucified.
Ramana
Maharshi was suffering from cancer to show the world that karma has long cycles.
See, Krishna Murti was crying in pain.
Crying in pain. They did not suffer pain. They were in pain, they did not suffer pain. But the cycles of karma, some are so long, they may visit you. Last time in the meeting I had explained this very point, that we might make our spiritual progress as a lift, whereas karmic death comes by the staircase. But ultimately the lift goes on the top floor. By the time, by the circular method, karma and cycles of karma reach you. But in the meantime, you have taken a vertical rise. You see, that does not mean that Raman Maharishi or for that matter Ramakrishna Paramahams will be spared of the cycles of karma created. Here is not the karma to awake. Here is the karma of fulfillment. You get my point? The karma of fulfillment is another thing. The shock treatment is another thing. We are not in your shock treatment. You see? We are meeting the cycle of karma created in a very, very long past. You get my point? That you are sufficiently missed them. You see? Especially Jesus, it all passed in the last meeting. Jesus got himself crucified. As I said, whilst taking the cross, before he was nailed on the cross, it was so heavy that one very strong noble Roman offered to help him. So he tied his shoulder, he couldn't lift the cross. Then Jesus slowly told him, if I would, I would call to my aid 5,000 angels. You get the point now? That if I don't want to suffer this, I can avoid it. I can call 5,000 angels. You get my point? But he himself suffered too. He had a message to give. You see? So, we should not bring at our level what has happened to those few rare souls. These rare souls have gone too far for us. They may have something to tell us, to teach us. They are not subject to the same shock treatment as we will be subject to who are not awake. To get my point. Not to be awake is a different point. For the ancient karma to visit you is a different point. And in such cases it is deliberate, so that the mass may understand something. You get my point? But an awakened man should not receive shock treatment. He might receive karmic treatment, from which nobody is free. Even Rama was not free. And the Pandavas were not free. I'm not talking about the karmic treatment. I'm talking about the shock treatment. So unless we are awake, we will be suffering from one shock treatment to another. Continuous. You understand me? There is one lady, a Gujarati lady. People go to her for blessings. If there are problems, you go to her. And she would show them the way. She's still alive. Some 50 or more years ago, she was married to a young man. They had bungalows and cars in Paris, bungalows and cars in India. Was happily married. Had one son. She gave birth in a French hospital. after the son was born and she was very happy to see the little child. In her standing there, looked at her and said, "Don't be so happy. Your life is miserable." So why? The son will die. Nonsense. That was, by the time he would be 2 months old or so. And by the time the son was 2 months old, that infant died. And she cried and called. That nurse came to her house because she knew where she was. She had the address with her. She went to home and said, "Don't cry. Now your husband will die." Okay? Yes. Within 1 or 2 months, he said. After 1 or 2 months, the husband. And she was crying bitterly. And the nurse came again and said, "Don't cry. Now all your relatives will take away whatever you have got here and in India. But why should they take it away? I don't know." And then the relatives came, said, "We must go to India. Now what have you got here? Sold everything here." When they found that her all the riches were gone, the partners of her husband had swindled, and she had no property, no money left. She started making papad, earning a living. But this shock treatment, perhaps she may have received 100 before, opened her eyes. She went straight along the path. She started her bhakti, she started her yoga, and she has earned her bread and lived her life. That is what that nurse has said. You will have to work hard to have a little money for your living. She lives with someone that is an obligation on her. She cannot even afford to pay that person. But today there, people come to worship her, to get her blessings. She has come on the path very strongly. She can see everything as if it is daylight. This is one instance, a rare instance, of a shock treatment in this life that has opened the eyes. Maybe it may be the 1,000 times or the 1,000th shock treatment in her life, as we all will receive at least 1,000 shock treatments. The pensioner who was there. Oh, a psychic person, maybe. You see? So, these are the shock treatments we get. A person who has bungalows and cars in Paris, and bungalows and cars here, till today, she is earning a living, hardly 50, 70 rupees a month, living with someone under obligation. That someone is keeping her because people bring so many things to her, you see, which she does not care now, you see, that goes to the family. She is in Dada. She is still living. This is the shock treatment of one particular person I see today. So such shock treatments are being given. We will be receiving them also. And not once, twice, perhaps 1,000 times. And by the time we will awake, we will be wide awake. Then we will see the uselessness of our normal living without this purpose in mind. You get my point? And then, if we give again, still not, it is not enough to know the purpose and be awake. Till such time, we give it sufficient importance. When it is sufficiently valued, is the sutra say, when this is sufficiently valued, then daily you say, "Okay, I have to earn my bread and butter, I am a householder, I am a family," but you must strictly put aside a certain time for this purpose, because you sufficiently value this purpose. You get my point here? Book 234. Thoughts contrary to yoga are harmfulness, falsehood, theft, incontinence and avarice. What happens to a person whose awareness is at low ebb and is oblivious of the purpose? However much such a person pretends to be good and religious, he or she will be assailed by thoughts contrary to yoga and will succumb time and again. Why is it so? Because only after a person is aware of the purpose, and only after that purpose, after that person starts sincerely and consciously to begin the various practices, will thoughts contrary to yoga cease. Meaning, effortlessly, one is able to live free from such thoughts. This will not be possible otherwise, and life after life, a person is assailed by thoughts contrary to yoga. Such thoughts are enumerated as harmfulness, falsehood, death, incontinence and avarice. See, the sutra puts it beautifully, thoughts contrary to yoga, meaning thoughts contrary to daily living. Yoga is daily living. It is not something where you spend 20 minutes doing some japa or something. No. Yoga is your way of living, your normal life. Thoughts contrary to yoga means thoughts contrary to your daily normal living. You get my point? And it's not this obvious harmfulness, falsehood, theft. You said these thoughts don't come to me. But last time I have given you a specific instance where thoughts contrary can come in. As in the case of Yudhisthira, when he told Dronacharya, Ashwatthama is dead, kintu hati. Kintu hati, he said very softly. And he said loudly, Ashwatthama is dead, that means your son is dead. The name of the son was also Ashwatthama, and the name of the hati was also Ashwatthama, which Bhima destroyed. And the only way to kill Dronacharya was by shock. And Ashwatthama was his only child, brave warrior. So the shock that he is dead, I am so old and I am not dead, and he collapsed there. Yudhisthira, the Dharma king, who never said an untruth in his life, his chariot was 9 inches off the ground. You get my point? That was the test of his honesty. But he landed on the ground that moment. You see? So there are occasions when we may be assailed by these thoughts. You get my point? Book 4-9. There is identity of relation between memory and the effect-producing cause, even when separated by species, time and place. This sutra explains how thoughts are formed. Thoughts are formed when incoming impulses meet identical memory patterns stored in your brain, and the two together reach the front brain, and there they are worked upon by the centers, intellectual, emotional, sex, movement. We have just discussed that. Both the incoming impulses and identical memory patterns are soaked in past experience emotions, and so reactions of that person is according to such newly created thoughts along the old patterns. Effect-producing cause are the incoming impulses. The memory patterns could be very ancient and experienced somewhere else, yet are being carried by a person as one precious possession. I am going to write a very simple line. In memories crowded sleep, in memories crowded sleep, the past lived on as in a bottomless sea. The past lives on as in a bottomless sea. The whole idea being memory. Indestructible memory. There are some germs, if you boil them, they die. There are some germs, if you freeze them, they die. Memory, if you boil or freeze it, nothing happens to it. It remains as fresh as ever. Memory, 10 million years old, can come back. Memory is indestructible. There is no eraser created in the vast universe that can erase memory. Therefore, in yoga, as you see in that diagram, you got the diagram with you, diagram 3D. In diagram 3D, the incoming impulse do not normally go over the memory patterns into your forebrain. At the taluka, they go from the five passages to the forebrain, avoiding memory. You can sidetrack memory. You can defreeze memory for some time, but it will be again alive. You can only sidetrack memory. When the incoming impulses come to make thoughts, the incoming impulses have to be diverted. As on the road you have a diversion. You have a diversion and they are diverted without going over the memory pool. If they go over the memory pool, ancient memory identical with the incoming impulses go to the forebrain to make a thought on the old lines. So memory which you take with you, memory which you bring with you at birth is your ceaseless companion.
So even if memory is not, memory is indestructible, we are not able to call it memory, recall it whenever you want it.
That very fact shows what we have no control over memory. We have no control over memory. Maybe to a certain extent we may call back a few names and that's not control. We have no control over memory. And then a particular incoming thought comes and identical memory pattern surges up and makes a thought which combines to your experience you have had. See? If there had been a control on memory, then all would have been excellent. You would have pushed back unwanted memory and you would always call up the memory you need. But we have no control over memory. As the incoming thought comes, an identical pattern will come up and the two together will go to the front brain and the thought will be made along the old lines of experience and will act along the old lines of experience. This is how we mechanically live. We might look very self-aware, intelligent beings. We are not. We are mechanical toys. In our present state. In our present state, we are mechanical toys. And as the incoming impulses come, an identical memory will create old fire and will act accordingly. You get my point? We have no control. If we had control, sufficient control, we would have control of our unwanted memory, we would have control of our wanted memory. But we have no control. Remembering names and all is a further step of no control. You get my point? But it is indestructible. You get my point? There are people who are treated as psycho. You know what happens? In the memory pool, there are two parts. This life's memory and the past life's memory. These psycho people who suddenly act in a manner that they are not understood and are supposed to be crazy people, their past very old memory pattern, that side opens up and suddenly they start speaking in some language that they are not used to. They are suddenly behaving in a manner that they are not used to. Some will say, somebody has had black magic on him, you are never like this, you see. But this is when very past, very old primitive memory comes in and that person acts accordingly. And we find out, he never showed these signs. So memory is indestructible. Very fortunately, an awake person, the old memory does not wake up normally. and only memory of this life wakes up. And we know our this present life, so we know how to act, you see. We don't act suddenly in a different way. Suddenly I suddenly start walking like Emperor Nero. I said, why are you there? Finish. He's gone. He's breathing like Emperor Nero. But some past memory may suddenly come and I will be like that. Psycho. You get my point? But as long as past memory, very ancient memory, does not open, I will live with this memory of this life. You get my point?
Memory is indestructible,
Then
you forget about it or can't recall
it. You see, memory is indestructible because when you will sufficiently advance on the path, there is a certain faster. It makes you study the memory of past lives. When you connect up to, say, 100 past lives, and you understand how karma and life works. This is one of the studies in yoga, higher yoga. You see, that is why memory is in this structure. It has its own purpose to serve also. But if uncontrolled it comes out, then you are psycho. But it is one of the instructions, very important instructions in the study of yoga, where you have to study your, say, 100 past lives. And from that, come to know as to how you have been dealing with others. You also know how you hurt other people, what is your debt to other people, how you can reconcile to them, how you can, all these has to be learned on the path of yoga. Real yoga is very, very advanced. You see, it's not yoga. You get my point? So memory has to be indestructible. Otherwise we'll never know the law of karma. We'll never understand this higher idea. You get my point? Redeeming is one of the lessons we have to learn on in yoga. How shall we redeem if you do not know our past? If I know how I have hurt you, say 10 lives ago, I must undo that harm to you. You see? Otherwise, karma will assail me one day. But if I redeem it this way, karma will not reach me. You get my point? So all these are lessons for which memory is needed. Very ancient memory is needed. And that is how memory, that is why memory is indestructible. In a way, it is not good. In a way, it is very necessary. You get my point? Sufficiently. Now, I will go straight to the Yoga Sutras from our next meeting. The purpose of repeating and repeating certain thoughts was to make you ready to understand that Yoga Sutra are talking about four types of people. One who are fast asleep, those who might just wake up in this life, those who have woken up a life or two earlier, and for those who are awake for some 100 lives. Then the sutra describes these four types of people. Then the sutra describes what these four types of people can do. Then the sutra says what things have to be done to go from one stage to another. Yoga Sutra are the most practical studies in all the subjects. It does not deal in any philosophy. It does not deal in any religion. It only gives you practical ways to go forward step by step. By describing the four types of people, if you are honest to yourself and think, you say, yes, I fall in this grade. Then, by seeing the various steps, practices that are given, you will realize that, well, for me these practices are necessary. You get my point? And therefore, with aim and with value given, sufficient value given to that aim, and with practices, you go practically step by step forward. Am I clear? Are there any questions? You see, I don't mind. Hundreds of authors like Gita were translated Yoga Sutra. There are two shortcomings. A, we are not rearranged. I mean by not rearranged, meaning in the first book, the practice is samadhi. You can't start with that. So the very fact shows that the books are not arranged, they have to be rearranged. Two, no practices are given in any translation. Why? Scholars cannot translate Yoga Sutra. Those who have had first-hand experience can translate Yoga Sutra. I do not claim to be one such great man, but I claim to be a disciple of a man who has taught me. What I have learned, I will tell you. This is not given in a book form. See today. You get my point. So, you can buy many books.
You don't commentary, you are
very strong. Sutras are plentiful. You see? But, without the commentary, again it is useless. Without rearrangement, it is useless. Without the practices, it is useless. You get my point?
Very
popular. In Gita, at least there is philosophy. Even if you read the slokas, you get something to read. Here there is no philosophy. So when you will read, it will be dry matter. It will not appeal, you see, and you will put it down when you will read that. You get my point? Because no proper explanation is forthcoming. And why of that explanation is not forthcoming? Practices are not shown there. You see, unless you do all this, Yoga Sutra has no meaning. And the finest instructions in yoga are from Yoga Sutra. You get my point? Why are they deliberately not rearranged? I don't know. But for many, many centuries they have come like this in four book forms, where some of the sutras deal with samadhi, while some of the sutras don't even start with yam niyam. Okay? At least you must start with yam niyam to come to samadhi. Before that you go to pratyahara, dharana. So all that is to be rearranged. We have rearranged the sutras. We have had the exposition of the sutras which I tell. Now again I will read out to you, explain to you. We are on the practices also. We have done the refining exercise, we have done upgrading exercise, we have taken three-step rhythmic breathing, we have gone on the phase exercise, and we have got so many now to do, so we will go step by step. But they will be only useful to you provided you are awake, the aim is before you, and the aim is sufficiently valued, and ceaseless efforts are put in. Ceaseless. Not today, I was so busy. You are not busy not to eat. You are not busy not to sleep. But you are too busy to do something. If you are not well, if you are not well, even then you take soup and biscuit. See, these things won't help. The efforts must be ceaseless. You must be on fire. As I told you, I repeat again and again, from my age of 7 till today, I have not had 3 days of absence. 3 days of absence. And my routine takes at least 2 hours. You cannot take a holiday. You cannot take holiday from morals. You cannot take holiday from reading. And you cannot take a holiday from Yoga Sutra once you are on it. You get no point. There is no holiday. There is no day when you are sick. There is no day when you are very busy. Yoga is to be sufficiently valued. You must have preference over every other thing. You must find time for it. If your tomorrow is going to be very busy, get up 15 minutes, 30 minutes earlier, and find time for it. Unless you will do like this, unless you are honest with yourself, nobody is going to come and check you. unless you are honest with yourself. And you will be honest to whom? To your own inner self. You can't cheat to your inner self. You get my
point?
He knows every changing thought. So he will laugh and say, I know, I know. Let us not say that again and again. Then he will give up all hope and say, this life is gone. Forget it. See? Let it not come to that conclusion. Let him have the hope that no, he is still able to grow. He is still able to find me. You get my point? Be honest to your inner self. Stick to this. You will reap very great riches. Okay? So we are meeting there and we are 6th February
somewhere.
We are meeting day after tomorrow for our exercises. Both the groups.
February
is 21st. Follow the 23rd, I suppose. That's for exercises. You are coming for the first time. Shock treatment will make you cry bitterly, again and again and again. And everything dear to you will be taken away from you. Pray that such shock treatment may not visit you. Remain awake.
Thank you.